man of God this week. Amen. You open up your heart. Brother Brown, service is yours. You tell us what's what.
You can have a seat. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of the musicians and the music. I have seen some music programs I thought ought to be annihilated from the earth. I've preached behind some choirs. I believe it would have been legal to turn around and use an Uzi on them, just shoot them on and let them go on to heaven and sing where they could get a voice. But I'm glad and thankful and appreciative to be here with you and everybody that does everything you do to make this meeting happen is dry because of it. I'm glad to know a new roof is on this thing because I knew it was a bunch of drips. A bunch of drips. We always fight for them dry seats. I appreciate the sound folks too. I wouldn't do what he does and get jumped on and roughed up like they get roughed up because of the not getting done what somebody wants it. I appreciate the sound. I was in a church the other night, had a 3-channel Radio Shack amplifier and one of them little battery-powered mics, and they gave it to me and said, go ahead. I didn't know whether to throw it at them or use it, because either way, you wasn't going to get much out of it. And I appreciate them. Always a blessing and always in their place, and so are you. One of the hardest things that I've ever tried to do is to pray effectively. I have struggled. I want you to know that. I have struggled in my life with learning how to consistently impress God. And that's what I want to do. I'm here to impress and to encourage people to glorify him. I want to do it to where he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful. I'm not looking for a cabin on a hill. I'm not looking for all the rest of it and the gold in the streets. I'm really going to be honest with you. I'm not really looking to see Jesus first. I'm looking to hear something. Well done. That's all I want to hear. 50 years I've been tracking up and down these highways saying, let me hear it, not see it. I'll be able to see it forever and ever. As Billy Graham would say, and ever. You're home. I can preach just like him. Don't get me started. I got 2 or 3 of them memorized. Everybody thinks they're mine. I don't preach them anymore. But praying has been a problem to me. Oh, I do it enough to get by. But I don't want to just get by. I'm teaching and discipling myself on some things. When you get old enough, you get to know enough to teach yourself some more. I can't say that again, so don't expect me to. But every one of us ought to have a thirst in our heart to learn how to be prayer warriors. I've been preaching on this little bottle of Boost. They tell me, and I'm learning from it now, that this will give you energy and protein. So I followed my doctor's orders. He didn't tell me to get this particular kind. They all kinds of them out there. But he said something like this, and drink 2 a day, no more, and things will begin to happen to you. You'll begin to feel a little bit more strength. So I looked on it, and the first thing I found out that it says on it is what? Shake well. And God, to give us a boost, is going to have to shake us. A man that don't need a boost don't need shaking. And a man that don't get shaken ain't going to get no boost. So what I need is a pick-me-up person living in my life, because I live just like you do in the down position a lot of times. But shake it up. Boy, if you could, if that liquor could talk right now, stop it. They don't like change. They don't like this. There's a do not disturb sign on here somewhere when you shake it. That do not disturb sign jumps out. It don't like to be moved. Set me on the shelf. Let me sit. Well, then Tuesday night we found out. What did we find out Tuesday night, Jake? It had 26 ingredients in it. Every one of them's in there for a reason. And if any of them's taken out, you move the power of the drink. We need each other. We can't be removing. I don't have no friends to lose. I ain't got enough now. I don't want to lose none. And I don't want nobody getting out of the house of God and taking with him the flavor that he had in his favor. When one takes off, that leaves a gaping hole for somebody to fill. You'll never leave God's influence and keep God's power. Last night we found out, what did we find out last night, Jake? That you got to use it daily. My doctor, I went to him and he told me about it, and I got some and run out. And I went called him up and said, I've drank about 12 of these things. He said, get 12 more. Are you drinking them 2 a day? Don't quit because you run out. Keep doing it daily. Daily in the temple, men were being saved. Daily in the temple, God was blessing. Daily in the temple, they were growing. And no reason some of us ain't growing. Some of us aren't growing because we're not consistently with daily effectiveness walking in what we know. You're not ignorant people. You are God's chosen. God picked you for this. You were selected. God saved you for a purpose. Get after it. Whoop. I'm beginning to like my own preacher. I'm going to stay up here a little while after this. I may stay next week and just preach with Joe. Hallelujah to God. Daily. Every day. Today, I read that book. And last night I asked some of you to raise your hand. I'm not going to tonight, but if I was to ask you to raise your hand tonight, could you raise it and say, I read it today? I had several of you come up and tell me stories you read out of the Word of God. That's great. That's what I'm talking about daily. Take it when you're supposed to. Take it when you're supposed to. Tonight I want to give you the fourth one. Just one point and we'll be done. It says on here that there's a toll-free number. I called it. I know it's connected. It's a toll-free number right on the bottom here. And it's 24/7. Never nobody there to answer. 24/7, any trouble. I'm trying to preach a little louder because there's a deaf lady on the back row who told me she couldn't hear me and she wouldn't move to the front. So I'm telling you, 24, if you have any sickness because you drink this, call them. They have a regiment that they go through and they get you medical help. Why? Because you can sue them. That's why. And you can get in touch with somebody, a real person. And they'll help you with this. You and I have the privilege to have the same thing in our grasp. I got a God that don't get weary because he don't have to sleep, because he don't have to sleep because he don't get weary. I've got a God who is in me, and a God who's working through me, and a God who is helping himself to me. I'm glad that he knows more about me than I'll ever know about myself. And I'm glad I can call on him 24/7. I can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's up. I can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's up. I can get up at 3 o'clock or 4, 5, 6. I can get up around daylight and he's sitting out there waiting on me. Praise God for somebody who can say, I'll give you help. Call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Psalm 51:15, call unto me and I will hear thee and show thee mighty power. I'm glad to know tonight we have us a God who never slumbers and never sleeps. He cares about you no matter how old you are. He's concerned about you no matter where you've been. He's concerned about your life, and he wants your life to count for him. And let me, if I can tonight, give you this brief proposition that I'll preach on. Every one of us can learn correctly how to pray. God's teaching me. I'm just going to preach what I know and what he's told me. You may know something better than what I say. If you do, come up and say it to me after church, and I'll tell everybody where I go about it and tell them God gave it to me in the night because it's dark outside. Very important that we learn. We can learn how to pray correctly. I'm going to show you what the Lord, ain't the only remedy, but I'm going to show you what the Lord gave me. Now, every one of us can do it simply by following the following guidelines. Number one, write this down somewhere. There must be, if we're going to learn to pray together, there must be closeness. You have got to get close to the Lord and close to his people and close to his organism, the church. You've got to get close to where he is so that you can pick up on what he says and what he asks you to do. We must start the process by moving from where we are to where he is. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I wrote this down today. I got smart and brilliant for about 20 minutes. Then he sees us in our will and draws nigh to us. The Bible says in the 4th chapter of the book of James, verse 8, draw nigh unto him. Who is that talking about? And then talking about him drawing nigh to us. Look at it. It says, draw nigh. This is the first thing. It ain't flip-flop. Read it like it is. Don't try to rewrite it. All right? He said, draw nigh unto me, and then I will draw nigh unto you. And you're going to meet in the middle. So, if you're going to pray correctly, you can't just be anywhere you want to be doing anything you want to be doing. You got to come into his presence. I found a verse today that tickled my goozles. The word says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. Be thankful before you bring your petition. Bring praise before you bring your need. And bring love before you bring your list. Because God's not interested in being Santa Claus to us. God's not interested in treating you like you somebody just gimme, 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 like the whole government is now. He wants you to take more interest in him than what you're asking him to give you. What he's giving you and what he's giving up for you in prayer, he wants to see you live for him and make much of him. He wants to be number one. Oh, my goodness alive, Lord, help me. I'm glad that I can say that God is helping. Many can't get into the presence of God, listen closely, because of the ministry, the church. It's awful that we have to do what we do and try to be what we need to be. Oh my, I had a meeting and a half one night about 10 years ago. I had been in this thing about 30 years or more. And I went to my wife and I sat down and I said, honey, I have committed adultery with on you and because of my attitude and actions. She said, with who? I said, with the church. I have, and I did, I worked myself to, I started where I'm at with 9 people 42 years ago, and God has built it, but I put myself in such a place of work and doing and being, not becoming, and putting myself, set myself up for a fall. I put something before someone and it cost me. Now, there's never been any adultery. I'm giving you an example here. But there has been a whole lot of flirting in that church with working and letting the work be more important than the development. Oh, my God. My son, listen, let me tell you something. The greatest mistake you could ever make in the ministry is putting things that God expects you to do first, but you let go of what he gave you before you met him to keep what he gave you after he came. It's very important. Every woman in here that's married to a preacher or everybody in here that has anything to do with a preacher knows, and you know very well and you know good, that it's hard in this generation. It's difficult. The hospitals and nursing homes and praying with folks. I don't know how long I can keep it up. I've been doing it 42 years in the same place. I've tried to resign twice, and the deacon said they'd kill my dog. They said that we'll come over to your house and hang you. We can't have you walking off and leaving us. I said, oh, my God. That's why I shake. My doctor said that church killed you. That's what he told me. He said it has run you to the bone and taken everything in your mind out. And the serotonin and all the material that I need to be natural, I have to take a pill to get. Simply because I let the ministry move my meaning and my calling. I went and told the church. I said, I can't do this anymore. What do you want us to do, preacher? I want y'all to learn how to do it with me. I want some of the burden off. I want some of the breakdown not to bow me over. I want some of the strength to come to you from God for the glory of God in the house of God and see the people of God excited. You can't ride one horse all your life. If you do, you'll run him to death. But God knows what we need is to find a closeness. How many of you live with a woman that walks through the house muttering? Tell the truth, fellas. I know she's with you tonight, but I mean, you mutter. You know what muttering is? That's a North Carolinian term. Muttering. Jake don't know what roasting ears is. How's a man lived not knowing what a roasting ear? He said, what is a roasting ear? It's an ear of corn that you roast. I mean, it's simple. It's just can't get good help. But they mutter. My wife is a mutterer. I'm at the other end of the house, and she says, and I mean it. I said, mean what? Boy, don't ever let one know that you've caught on that she's a murderer, because she don't like to be called no murderer. You need some hearing aids. Well, I think you'd help it if you'd talk a little louder. You can't hear through three walls. It's just a mutter. They'll mutter at a high velocity. They'll mutter at a low velocity. And then they'll blame you for not hearing them while they was muttering. Can I get somebody to get real with me tonight and say, we don't need to be so far away from God it sounds like muttering when we're praying. We don't need to be so far away from God that you can't hear him when you're praying. We need to get close up. Here it is, John 13. Jesus is with the disciples, and he says this to them, one of you is going to betray me. All their ears perked up and looked like peacock on the side of the head, just perked up. And Simon Peter looked and said to one of the disciples, who you think it is? Another one was saying, who you think is you? You think it? And then Peter asked John, ask him, John. Why couldn't Peter ask him? He said, ask him. You can get him to tell you things I can't get him to do. Because John leaned on his overall ridden bosom. Right there. He laid in his bosom. And when you can feel the heartbeat of God and the heartbeat of heaven in your soul, blessed be God, you're in the right place. Somebody holler amen right there. Oh, God, help us. God, touch us. And God, extremely give us power. All right? Now, let me ask you a question. Will you draw close tonight? When I give this invitation in just a minute, are you going to start grabbing bags and babies and coats and leaving? Or are you going to say, I hadn't got nothing from God in so long, truly and sincerely, I must be further away than I think. There's no way in the world you coming over here listening to this music, which is great, and listening to this preaching, which is Bible. There's no way you can just come over here and listen and leave and say, I got what I needed. You need to listen till it changes you. You need to listen till you are conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. You need to listen and stop muttering. Get close enough to hear what he says. Number two, not only has there got to be number one, let's see if I can see here, a closeness. Number two, there must be a cleansing. There it is. Look at. I didn't even take y'all to a text. Go anywhere you want to. It's a good, all of it's wonderful. But look at James 4. Where did I get the one about closeness? In 4:8. Now we're looking at the book of James, chapter number 4 and verse number 8. James 4:8. It says this, just the A part of it. 8a. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Here's the second point. The second, what was our key word, Jake?
Guidelines.
The second guideline is not only must there be a closeness, but a cleansing. Notice what he says in the bottom end part of this in verse number 7. 8, the B part of 8, it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let me read it again. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The scripture tells us in no uncertain terms that we got to get cleansed to come into his presence and get cleansed after we come into his presence to get his attention on our petition. Well, number one, we're standing here and we know we need something from God. We know we need something from God's table. We know we need something from God's hand. And what do we need to do? The scripture tells us we need to draw close. You're doing it tonight. You're coming close and you're close in and you're listening. And then it says that we must be cleansed. God wants to bless us, but he can't bless nasty. He can't take dirt and fill it. He can't take unrepentant hearts and satisfy them. They've got to come to the notion and to the place that they see, am I right? That they see that they really aren't meeting up to where they ought to be. They're not doing what they ought to do. So they need to get their hands washed. They need to get their soul cleaned up. They need to get some things confessed. They need to get some things out. And they need to let God see that they're genuinely open to him. Oh, my. Lord, help us, please. Give us strength and power to do that. The pathway to cleansing is confession. Confession. I'm wrong. I'm lost. I'm nasty. I'm carnal. You say, not me. Well, I'm talking about me. You just wait a minute and we'll get me straight and we'll come back to where you at. I'm needy. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I can't read how to influence people and succeed. I can't get philosophically straightened out with a psychologist. I can't get everything right like I need it. I need to come to him, throw myself on that altar and say, oh my God, cleanse my life and show me what you want me to do. Isn't that what you've done, son? How many years ago? 10 years where? 10 years ago tonight. You just fell in that altar and God helped you and God touched you and God encouraged you and God called you. And God stirred you. And look at you 10 years later still doing it. You must have learned something about getting close to where he is so he can run over here and get close to you. Closeness will bring confession because Jesus promotes repentance and repentant faith. You can't be saved by joining. You know that. You can't be saved by... One fellow said you can get baptized till all the tadpoles know your social security number backwards and forwards and still go to hell. Lord, help us. We need a real Savior. We need the realness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to show us what we need to do. Not listen to some secondhand gospel or some joke or something else, but to know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ever ask or think. I praise the Lord. I give God glory. and thanksgiving tonight. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to cleanse us of our sins, comma, and forgive us from all unrighteousness. This is one of the few camp meetings I come to where there's young people. To see them all singing last night, when they all came up here, I didn't even want to look at the congregation because it wasn't nothing but chairs. They came up, just that many here in a youth choir is a blessing. But I want to tell you, don't get caught up in the enthusiasm of being young, because you're going to be old sooner than you know it. Don't get caught up in doing and being and doing all these things that just sort of make it fun to go to church. Go to church for the right reason and scrooge up to Jesus and let Him touch you by the power of the blood of that cross. And I promise you that the Spirit of God can give you a testimony 10 years down the road. Amen. Oh God, help us and touch our hearts and help us not to cover up. Not to cover up. I'll illustrate this way and quit. I had a buddy of mine years ago that I used to preach for a lot. He's dead now. But I went to preach for him one Monday. I pulled in, and his wife was in a double wide where they live down in South Georgia. And he came in after about 15 minutes after I'd been there. Got a house full of young'uns, and he came in, and he was a little mopey. Monday is moping day for a preacher if he's had a bad Sunday. And what is a bad Sunday, preacher? You don't want me to tell you in church. And he was mopey. I talked to him, but I could tell he didn't have his heart in it. And I asked his wife when we was fixing, I said, "What's up with him?" "Oh, it ain't nothing." I said, "What's up with him? He's lips is hanging to the floor." She said, "Well, Saturday was his birthday, and they didn't say nothing about it yesterday." Now, I hate to let this cat out of the bag, but he's been clawing for 10 minutes. I hate to let this cat out of the bag, but preachers are the world's worst about trying to get over what wasn't mentioned. Ain't we? I have been around long enough to want to be a little appreciated. Just a tad. At least, if you can't sing, sing "Happy Birthday to Me" and try. I said, "You're telling me he's like that because they," she said, "Well, he's just melancholy over it." I said, "I want you to help me fix it." So we got one over there Monday night, and I just preached the best I could, had a good time. And he was still moping. And I, after the service, we were standing around, and there was two old women. Between them, they was probably 200 years old. And I say that because if you get 125, they can't do nothing with a stove. If them biscuits don't hop out of them rolls and hop in them pans and jump in that oven, you ain't getting, forget scratch. They think that means this. All these old girls around here 25 years old, that big. What's up with that? What's up with that? Eat! You wormy. Don't go to Bryson City and get over there where I live with that bunch I got. They'll worm you and you're a visitor. I got them two old ladies. That one I never will forget. One of them had a ball on top of her head. She started on Saturday. getting that ball ready for Sunday. She had about 3,000 bobby pins stuck in that thing, and she was going to make sure she didn't come down. I said, ma'am, can you do something for me tomorrow, both of y'all? I don't know if they were kin to each other, but they sure looked like it. I said, I need 2 cakes of cornbread made in an iron skillet. She said, why, certainly, for what? I said, it ain't none of your business now about for what. I can't be telling me for what. I'll show you for what. And I asked the preacher, I said, they said they wouldn't, they went on. I said, preacher, which woman in this church is the biggest talker? Gossip in a heartbeat. He said, you see that woman right back here in that blue dress? He said, don't miss it. I seen that blue dress. Her, she's got a tongue 1/2 mile long. I went back there and got her. I said, I need your help. I need your help. I want you to get on the telephone and call everybody in this church, because tomorrow night we're going to have a shindig. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. We're going to have it out. With a shout. Come on. She said, the mouth of the South was glad to be ministering for Jesus. You got to know how to use your negatives. You've got to learn how to use your opposition. You got too much opposition not to use it. And so she went to call him. Oh, God, y'all got to be at church. The evangelist over there, I don't know what he's got to do, but something's up. I don't know what in the world we're going to do. They had that place jammed full the next night. I took them 2 women, them old women, and we put them 2 stacks of cornbread on top of each other and put chocolate all the way around it. Covered it up with chocolate, the kind you could, I don't know, and it just tastes good. Lick it and spread it. Don't get it backwards. Lick it and spread it. You double dip it if you go the other way. And put it over the cornbread. We put candles on it, and we took the fluorescent light bulbs undone them. And we had an area of the church basement where they had a fellowship hall. We had an area of it darkened out and had candles burning on that big old cake that we had for the preacher. And I said after the service, I said, now, sir, it was just a 2-day meeting with me. I said, we're going to have a birthday party for the preacher. As all y'all know, his birthday was Saturday, and we're going to celebrate it tonight. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Let me say something to you. You people are good to a preacher. Wade Huntley's in heaven right now hanging over the banister railing saying, yeah! Y'all were good to him. You've been good to her. You've been good to me. A blessing. And I appreciate it very much. Don't ever let your preacher be missed when it's important for him to be found and encouraged and celebrated. I got everything set up. I said, we're all going downstairs. I had people from everywhere, just everywhere. Church of God, Church of the Nazarene. There's everybody coming. That woman had went home and told them the biggest lie I ever heard, but I was glad. I'd love to have her right now. I set that cake up where you couldn't see it, and we got down there, and I said, all right, folks, thank you all for cooking what you cooked. They had some other stuff. I said, it's time for us to cut the cake. I said, come on over here, preacher, and get your piece first. So I cut it. He said, no, Brother Brown, I don't know what to say. And he just started like a woman at the mall that found out they was closing in 5 minutes. Oh, thank y'all. I appreciate it. The whole time he was saying in his heart, this happened Saturday and y'all waiting on Tuesday to do it. And I gave him the piece of cake, and he put it in it and gave this little pitiful spiel about how touched he was. And I was saying, oh, God in heaven, when he bites in that cornbread, he going to spit it 7 miles. I had that child. I said, oh, bless him, Jesus. Help him, Lord. He laid into that piece of cornbread and thought it was cake, and he started spitting. He started, I'm talking about throwing stuff. He turned around and looked at me. He said, all of a sudden, no tears. He's acting just like his mama. The woman in him broke out. He was weeping, and all of a sudden, he wasn't weeping no more. He said, I'll kill you and beat you half to death. One little woman that cooked, she said, help me with it. She said, preacher, no matter how much chocolate you put on cornbread, you ain't got no cake. No matter how much chocolate you put on cornbread, you ain't got no cake. I don't care how much covering up you do, you still ain't got no cake. Let him have it. Give it to him. Surrender yourself to him. Let him have his way with you. Please, I beg you tonight, don't live in carnality any longer. Don't live in sin any longer. Don't live in supposition any longer. Don't live, please, don't live in an unsurrendered life any longer, because you need to learn how to pray. Here's the third one. There must be a consecration. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7, and I quit. Notice what it says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse number 7. Let me read it one more time, since it's just that one for the last one. Submit yourselves, therefore, not to the deacon necessarily, not to the church leadership. There's places for that, but put yourself in a place to where you submit yourself unto God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself. Give yourself over. I was reading that today, and I said, Jake, look in the concordance for me and on that Greek program we got, and find out what the word flee means. You give yourself to God and consecrate yourself to God, you've got an automatic start to putting the devil in his place. You know where the devil wants to hang around and stop you? In your prayer life. That's where he has in my life. That's where he's coming around and saying, you ain't getting nothing done. Ain't no need for all that. Ain't no way in the world you need to do all that. And God has taught me something. Submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. That's your consecration to God, is your resistance to Satan, and the power of God comes on you and strengthens your conversation with God if you'll be the kind of person that seeks him and watch him flee. Come over here and preach 1 minute on that word fleeing. Real quick, will you do that? Right, like a holiness, right there. I'm tired. I'm going to lean up against this wall a minute. I'll be back for the closing, all right? Listen.
As the preacher mentioned, we looked that word up where it says the devil will flee from you. And in that Greek, that word flee means that the devil will run to find a place of safety from danger.
Take flight.
He will flee as to take flight. The Bible says he's the prince and power of the air. And the Bible says that when you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, that he will run to avoid danger.
To find
a
place.
Did you know that when you submit yourself to God, you're putting the devil in a dangerous place? When you submit yourself to God, the devil knows that he is now in danger. Hey, I tell you what, tonight it would be good if somebody would just decide, I'm going to surrender everything to God.
Hey.
I'm going to submit myself to the calling of God. I'm going to submit myself to the Spirit of God and watch the devil run off like a scaredy cat. Somebody say amen tonight.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful? Hey, that victory is won when you surrender. Victory over the enemy is won when you lay it down and surrender to God. Tonight it would do you good just to decide in your prayer life, in your Christian life, to surrender and submit yourself. Don't fight him. Don't buck up against him. Don't resist God. Resist Satan. Because he's trying to hinder your prayer life, as the preacher said. Submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and watch him tuck tail and run in fear to avoid danger. Put the devil in a dangerous spot tonight and surrender to God. Put the devil on his heels tonight and submit yourself to the Lord. Amen, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Here it is. The sermon in an illustrated look. We come into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You got to want to do that. You got to come into his presence. You say, he's with me all the time. Yes, but too many other things are with you also for you to converse with him in that particular arena. You step into his presence. Oh, the presence of God. I was in the presence of the Lord the other day. And I was talking to him, and he said, son, I can hear him right now. Son, let me say something to you. I said, but Lord, I'm praying. He said, I don't want to hear you hear me. I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you. And he said this, I love you. I said, I love you too. He said, I want to know how you feel about me, not what I have to give you. I have your stuff. I got all your stuff. I got everything piled up. What do you think about me? And I said, Jesus, you know I care. You know I love you. He said, do I? I haven't heard it in a while. I said, I do love you. And the more I said that, the more I felt that and I believed that and I experienced that. And I thought, what a joy and what a blessing to know a Savior like him. I feel so sorry for two people in here tonight. Those who are lost, I love you. And I wish you'd come to him. And the Christian who's out of fellowship with him. Because he's taking the heat for you when you don't love him. He's a stranger to some people's prayer life. Because we spend all our time asking and begging and getting and trying to have. Don't want the Cadillac, give me the BMW. Don't want the Chevrolet, give me the Rolls Royce. Truth is, we got way more than we need to live, and we need to be living within our means and looking up. Because when we was so mean that we couldn't stand ourselves, he came and found where we were and saved us by grace. You come into his presence. The Bible says you acknowledge him, and then you come into his presence, and you let God know how much you love you. That he loves you. And then you come to the place where you see there's resistance. There's dedication. I'm going to have to fight through this. I'm going to have to see God work. And then you step into the place of advantage, advancement. God will advance you. He'll take the stuff out of the corner and put it right up here where you are. If you'll practice keeping the devil off your stuff and keeping your life in the altar. Amen. If you're glad you came tonight, say amen. I sure am glad you came. Thank you for praying for me. You've been doing it all week. I appreciate it so much. One man told me tonight, he'd been all afternoon walking and praying for me and praying for this meeting. I can sense it this evening. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. God bless you. Don't miss the last night tomorrow night with us. Father, we do love you with all of our heart. We appreciate what you do, but we love you. Like Mary and Martha. Martha was so encumbered about, but Mary was at his feet, worshiping him. God, it's a choice we can make. We can be frying chicken or foot washing. We can be eating and getting big physically, or worshiping and gaining weight spiritually. Help me, Lord, please. I don't want to be adulterous to you. I don't want anything being first but you. I don't want to see the devil win. I want him fleeing, hunting higher ground, trying to get out before he gets in trouble. How many people would get up out of your seat tonight and say, "Preacher, I struggle to pray. I struggle to pray." You may preach. I do, and I struggle to pray. Do you do it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I do it, but I struggle. I need you to pray for me, if you will, that I wouldn't struggle so much with this most important thing. I believe it's the thing that brings the struggle is the devil knows how powerful praying really is. I wonder how many of you just get up and come and say, "I want him to help me with my prayer life right now. I want him to help me." Come on. There's Sunday school teachers in here, Sunday school students in here, preachers' daughters and preachers' sons and preachers. There's church members in here that haven't prayed in so long you don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. Come on, let God have his way. You come on. From the right over here, you may be a little older than everybody else in your section. Come on and let's pray for these young people and make sure they don't have to live with the likes of Hillary and they don't have to live with the likes of communism. They don't have to worry about North Korea. They don't have to worry about a Democrat or a Republican. Why don't you come and pray tonight for the people that you're trying to raise decently and in order and trying to raise them in the power of God? You'll never be able to do it without prayer and without praying, without seeking God for them. Bring your children up here tonight and pray for them. Bring yourself up here tonight and pray. Pray for your daddy preacher. Pray for your mama helping him. Pray like you've never prayed before tonight that God would have his way. There's about 30% of the congregations up here tonight. I sure wish they would like to see about 80% of you get in it. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, anoint us tonight, Lord, to pray. We got mamas that's prayed, grandmas that's prayed. Way back yonder in the woods, great grandma used to sit on the porch. Have a little dip of snuff maybe in her mouth, but she's weeping and carrying on for her boys and her children. And God would meet with her. That's where we come from. That's who we are. God, don't let one go out of here lost tonight. Don't let one leave here uncommitted tonight. Don't let one leave here tonight without praying lips. Don't let nobody leave here tonight without a prayer on their heart. Jesus, 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 how mighty and wonderful is he. Bless these dear people. Bless these dear folks in this altar. These folks to my back that are seated. I pray they'd make an altar out of their chair. And just pray that God would save that drug addict son she's got. That God would pray that drug addict, or save that drug addict boy that calls her Nana and Papa. I pray, oh God, that the dope man would be replaced by the hope man and God would get glory and honor and praise out of it. Lord, tonight, make much out of Jesus in this meeting. Lord, may people look unto you tonight and say, without a doubt, God has spoke to my heart. May we pray our way through. May we pray our way on. And may we give ourselves totally to this good doctrine. In Jesus' name. preacher. Amen.
Standing all over the house. Somebody said there are a lot of things you can do besides pray, but you can't do anything until you pray. And I want to tell you this meeting's here. This meeting has survived. And this meeting has thrived. Because down through time, men and women been praying, calling on God. If it continues to survive and thrive, it'll be by prayer as well. I appreciate the message, the challenge from the Word of God. Amen. That's why we have this meeting, to hear from heaven and to draw nigh to Him. Amen. You be praying for the life service tomorrow night with Brother Brown. Pray for God to touch him one more time. You go a praying. Come back a praying. You're at liberty if you've minded the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen.